La, 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 wait till I get my money right. I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I awoke, I spent that on a necklace. I told God I'll be back in a second. Man, it's so hard not to act reckless. To whom much is given,
much is tested.
Get arrested, guess until he get the message.
Oh,
under more scrutiny.
And what I do, act more stupidly. Bought more jewelry.
More Louis V. My mama couldn't get through to me. The drama, people suing me. I'm on TV talking like it's just you and me.
Why do
I'm just saying how I feel, man. I ain't one of the Cosbys, I ain't go to Hill, man.
Oh.
I guess the money should have changed them. I guess I should have forgot where I came from.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am 24. This is my podcast, 24's podcast. We're back super late Tuesday night, Wednesday. Fuck sake! It's not Tuesday, it's Thursday morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. Recording this podcast giga late. I had a lot of homework. A lot of homework to do. There wasn't really a whole lot I could do about it besides do the homework. Excuse me. Then on top of that, it's just I got super distracted, super excited about finally getting my Odin 2. I was looking at some games that I should put on it, and I don't really have the time to explain it. I'll explain it anyways. I'll explain it later on in the podcast. But
was you saying something?
Got a lot to talk about. Draft, wide receivers. How many wide receivers are there that you should know? A lot. We'll talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, lead up in the draft. Lead up to the draft in about a month. We're gonna go draft. We'll talk. Ladies and gentlemen, right here. 24
Podcast. Old folks talking about back in my day.
Oh!
But homie, this is my day. Class started 2 hours ago. Oh, am I late?
Oh!
No, I already graduated. And you could live through anything if magic made it. They say I talk with so much emphasis. Ooh, they so sensitive. Don't ever fix your lips like collagen to say something where you gon' end up apologizing. Let me know if it's a problem then.
I mid holiday. La la, wait till I get my money. La 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 la, then you can't tell me nothing, right?
Excuse me.
If you say something, you can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Let the champagne splash. Let that man get cash.
God, man. Let me tell you something. Kanye West. Currently. Bad, bad, bad man. Terrible person. Anti-Semite. Weird guy. Old Kanye. College dropout. And graduation. Just filled with absolute bangers. Absolute bangers. Oh, man. I'm watching a rerun, or technically speaking, it was, the game was on at 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning this morning. Couldn't watch it because I was asleep. Sorry, that was my earbuds playing the Nirvana, because I was listening to Nirvana earlier on music, Apple Music. Anyways, Dodgers game super early. Couldn't watch it. Couldn't check it out. But checking it out now. Dodgers beat the crap out of the Padres. Ha ha. Padres suck. Ha ha. Sorry. Oh, it just feels good to watch Shohei. Ohtani! Play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Today, I was about to say tonight, but it's technically today because they're still playing the series in South Korea. Today, I will watch the Dodgers once again play up against the Padres because, it's happening in Korea. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who kind of struggled during spring training, will play. Yes, he did struggle. It wasn't all roses for him. He struggled. But I did get to see Tyler Glasnow come in, pitch for the Dodgers. Dodgers got some great pitchers. I mean, Clayton Kershaw! It'll probably be his final year as a Dodger. I don't know how long he's going to keep this up. But Clayton, he's back. I'm watching Glasnow. He's spitting out sunflower seeds. It's the top of the seventh inning, so he's done. Yamamoto didn't pitch yesterday. He's going to pitch today in a couple of hours. I'm going to wake up a couple of hours. Watch Yamamoto pitch. Watch him pitch. Can't wait. Cannot wait, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, gosh. Super excited. In a couple of weeks. By the way, let me preface this. No, I'm not going to preface it. I'm just going to go on. A couple weeks, going to get my new AYN Odin 2. Super excited. Already have a shit ton of ROMs. I got to figure out if the ROMs will fucking work on this fucking device. Okay? Android devices, different from fucking PCs and computers and stuff like that. My computer, I don't know. Like, my computer can run all the ROMs fucking fine. I don't know if my Odin 2 will just be able to boom, boom, be able to fucking run the fucking games. And in some games need fucking BIOS files. I don't know if I have the right fucking BIOS files. I don't know. It's like some emulators I need BIOS files for, other emulators I don't. I don't know what I'm doing. Then it's like I'm trying to figure out how to get MAME games. This massive fucking library of arcade games. I want them too, but it's just I can't fucking get them. It's just ridiculous. Anyways. I was about to say, sorry. Anyways. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I was talking about the Odin 2. I got this email today. And they're fucking... These motherfuckers prey on innocent college students like it's nobody's business. And I was one of those... Just one of those innocent college students. Let me tell you what happened. So, reimbursement checks for college... Colleges, at least for mine, are starting to roll out here. Literally, they were supposed to roll out starting yesterday. I went into to the business office, to the billing office, and they were like, they could start out for you for, they're going to start out, not even for me, but for everybody, March 20th. Here's the thing. Billing lady or the office at the billing office was like, you're probably not going to get your check until April 2nd. Fine. I got the timetable. That's fine. A couple weeks. I can wait. Last week, I get this email. Certified scam. But it's like the email is weird because it's kind of like it's from a student, right? It looks like it's from a student. The only way that you can, that like most people can email my school email is through like the student portal. Like, that's the only way it shows up. Every other thing gets, like, sorted out into, like, other emails, right? So there's no possible way that this thing couldn't have come from internal. I don't know how they got my email address. I don't know how they did this, but they literally got through all the filters. And they literally sent me a link asking me to reset my account because my account was going to be deleted in 2 days. My email was going to be deleted in 2 days. Shocker, I still have access to my email. But they were like, they wanted my school ID, they wanted my mainline ID, they wanted my phone number, they wanted my email, they wanted my password, they wanted everything. And I was like, I was super skeptical about it because I'm like, this doesn't seem right. But I was like, I was about to, but I was just like, the website doesn't look right. This looks like a scam. I'm skeptical of it. And then I Google it, quick Google search. I'm like, oh, people are getting scammed. Left and right. Boom, boom, boom. Scam, scam, scam. I get an email today, and that, by the way, that email was just for my account. They were trying to steal my account. Now, they're trying to come after my paycheck from school. They're like, hey, you have to give us our phone, your phone number for the for your account. And I was like, I looked at the email and I was like, the email address, it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit shady. It's a little bit off. And then it's like, I look at my account. It's a bank mobile thing, right? It's this thing that the school or the government, I don't know, they use it, right? I'm looking at that account because the whole kibosh is over whether or not I have a phone number registered with the reimbursement program's account or program's website, right? And so, again, not even a quick Google search. I just look at my account. It's on my computer. Why not? Look at it. Bada bing, bada boom. They have my fucking phone number. I'm like, scam. Scam. I'm 360 no-scoping these scams right now because they're a dime a dozen. Can't play me, son. Stop trying to take all my damn information and money. Don't you have my information already? It's like we all know that these corporations and companies are watching our website traffics and stuff like that. Just like, can't you just buy it from them instead of trying to steal it from me? My God. Stop annoying me. I have to block these people. Oh my gosh. Anyways, by the way, I've been meaning to talk about this the other day. Started to watch Modern Family. Like 6-7 months ago, I bought the complete series of Modern Family on DVD. Love the TV show Modern Family. Love it to death. Here's the problem. ABC absolutely fucked the show, ruined the show, not just because of the ending, but also because of just the quality of DVD that they release. I mean, it is so garbage and compressed. I have DVDs that are 20 years old that are better than the Modern Family Complete Edition that I got. It's like it's running at 480p. I don't know what the fuck is going on with this thing. I was like, it's not TV, because TV will put out different outputs all damn time. It can be upscaled to 4K. It's like it's not my Blu-ray player, because my Blu-ray player plays 4K fine, plays regular DVDs fine, plays regular Blu-rays fine, but this DVD, the Modern Family DVD, that's the one that gets all janked up. So I have to watch Modern Family in like 990p. It sucks to look at, but it's still a great TV show. I'm laughing my ass off. I'm having a good time. I get all the way up to the worst season possible. You want to know the difference between The Office and Parks and Recreation, two of the greatest sitcoms of all time, and Modern Family? Inarguably, there is no bad season, right? Like when Ann Perkins, played by, what was her name? I forgot her name. Ann Perkins. Rashida Jones. When Ann Perkins leaves, and Rob Lowe's character follows her, the show felt like it was missing two characters. The seasons weren't bad, they were just not as good as what the earlier seasons had. Like if Ann Perkins and Rob Lowe's character, I forgot his name, were still in that TV show, I feel like it would still be awesome. But they weren't. And so the TV show kind of took a dip at the end. But it didn't become bad by any stretch of the imagination. It was just running out of content, running out of material, and really running out of main characters. But it's still a great TV show. The last couple seasons, still great. Office, same problem. Steve Carell's character and Michael Scott leaves the TV show. A lot of conflicting opinions. I think some of the best seasons of The Office are the final seasons. Because certain characters, they get their shine on. They get a lot more attention. I feel like the rotating cast of bosses, outside of the Mr. California seasons, but when the red British woman, when she comes in, that's when, to me, the TV show really starts to become really fun at the end. Because Andy becomes just this menace to society. He's even worse as a manager than Michael Scott. And it's great TV show to me. To me. The difference between The Office and Parks and Recreation, when it comes to like the changes and when it comes to the lack of characters, is that Modern Family, They keep the entire cast. But the writers fucking shanked season 10. There were so many important decisions in season 10, and I'm spoiling it. I don't give a fuck. There were so many important decisions in season 10 that fucked the entire TV show. One of those being Dee Dee gets murdered. Dee Dee is Claire and Mitchell Pritchett's mother. One of the funniest characters. Literally, it's like throw a grenade into the fucking cast. If you want some weird shit to happen, make a Dee Dee episode. She dies. And it's supposed to be this sad event. And I'm like, I've never seen this woman be good to her children. And I'm supposed to have sympathy. I'm like, the whole episode, the tone was, let's have a sad episode for Dee Dee. And I was like, nobody feels sad for her. I don't feel sad for her. I don't. So you get that Dee Dee episode. And the main fucking thing that happened in that goddamn TV show that pisses me off Tuesday is the fucking Haley Dylan dynamic. When they first got introduced in season 10 as a couple, Haley gets pregnant. I'm juiced up. I'm pissed off. I am giga pissed. I mean, more pissed off than I am right now. I was so annoyed. I was like, because literally I could not take Dylan seriously as a character because his character is to be a joke. He's a joke. And I'm in season 11 right now. I'm knee deep in season 11. And do you want to know what Dylan is? Still a motherfucking joke. Like, the difference between and the comparison between Haley and Dylan is that of Claire and Phil. The difference between Claire and Phil is that Claire is dorky. He's ridiculous. He's kind of obnoxious. He's a little bit corny. But do you want to know what that motherfucker has? That motherfucker has heart. That motherfucker has heart. That motherfucker raises the bar. I remember people were commenting on Phil Dunphy. That motherfucker raises the bar on what it means to be a father, and he sets the tone on how to be a parent. Dylan is a stooge. He's a moron. He's an idiot. He has no endearing qualities. He is literally the lost puppy that runs into the tree over and over and over and over and over again. At first, it's you feel bad for him. Now you're like, why do you just run into the tree? Stop doing that. Stop hurting yourself. Because you're not hurting me. You're annoying me. Dylan is annoying. It's like Haley's development gets completely stifled. Dylan is just so obnoxious and so dumb and so stupid. I hate him. I hate him. I hate the storyline. Haley gets giga pregnant. They have the cute little circle of life because of course that they do to reveal the babies. It's just I've had it with Dylan, and I hated how for that entire season, the writers essentially shanked all of their good writing because the whole crux of Dylan was and is he's a fucking joke that comes around from time to time that everyone makes fun of and feels bad for, right? That's the joke. But now when you add him as a main character, when you add him as essentially Haley's partner, he has to be taken seriously. Like Phil is like jokes on jokes on jokes on jokes on jokes. But Phil has really important, Phil Dunphy, the parent of the Dunphys, the father. He has so many significant, important moments of his life, so many great insights, so many great moments. It's like, I haven't seen that motherfucker Dylan step up to the plate whatsoever. That motherfucker is poor as fuck. He can't support his family. He can't get a fucking new apartment. And I know what happens at the end of the TV show. I know that, like, inevitably Dylan and Haley, like, it's alluded to that they kind of work it out and stuff like that. But I don't fucking trust that motherfucker. And I hate that out of all of Haley's boyfriends, out of all of them, out of all of the fucking love interests in the TV show, this motherfucker is the one that ends up with Haley. This, like, even Arwen, the science teacher that they kind of threw in randomly after Andy. Andy is still the best. But it's like, after they fucking threw in the fucking professor, I was like, the professor is still a better love interest than Dylan. I'm super juiced up about this. Super passionate. Ruined one of my favorite TV shows. Ruined like a full season. I'm watching season 10 and I'm just like, oh my God. It's terrible. And then Alex becomes this sex-crazed maniac that goes on a homicidal hump spree throughout the entirety of season 10. The only thing Alex does is essentially have sex with her fireman boyfriend. I've had it. Sick of it. One of the best TV shows I've ever seen in my entire life still gets laughs out of me all the time. I knew, and you know, season 10 isn't a good season when I'm not laughing. Because Modern Family is jokes on jokes on jokes. It's a comedy. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, where are the jokes? Why am I not laughing? This is Modern Family. 2 seconds. I'm going to get some melatonin. Hold on.
Melatonin gummies. Give me 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Going to sleep, ironically enough, literally at this time period, I gotta get out of that funk. I gotta stop going to bed literally at 2 o'clock in the morning, then waking up at 6 a.m. like a psychopath. I'm trying to get back into shape. I gotta wake up at 4 a.m. But I actually have to get like proper amounts of sleep so that way I don't sleep throughout the day like a degenerate. Anyways. Let me take my melatonin really fast. Hold on. Fruit snacks, take notes. Make your gummies. For you know what pisses me off sometimes? I can't find the gummies that literally pharmaceutical companies make for their vitamins and supplements. Nature's Bounty sleep gummies that are for melatonin and that have the L-theanine, thionine, whatever it's called. Can we get a fruit snack company that makes their gummies like the Nature's Bounty sleep gummies? Please and thank you. My freaking God. My God. What are we doing? Anyways. Ranted and raved about Modern Family enough. Let's talk draft for 10, 20, 30 minutes. Let me take a swig of my water. Hold on. Last week, we talked about tackles. We talked about offensive linemen. I was like, oh my God, this draft is filled with them. I said 10 guys, 10 offensive linemen, third of the draft, that are first-round draft picks. Huge, huge. Not offensive players. Not skill position players. Not quarterbacks. Just 10 guys. 10 tackles. / guards. First-round draft picks. This week, we're going to talk about... Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 guys... First round draft picks to me. And so there's your other third, essentially. And so just amalgamizing two positions. Really three. Tackle, guard, tackle. We'll lump center in with guard because guards can play center. Tackle, guard, and wide receiver. We have 2/3 of the first round, in my opinion. Last year, for some weird reason, people were like, "Yeah, you know, we're not gonna take certain wide receivers in the first round." Let me look at the progression of last year's draft, 2023 NFL draft. If I look at the actual like progression of that draft, right? It was Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, The first wide receiver that was taken was at 20, and that was Jackson Smith, Njigba, who was great. Loved him coming out of college. He was fantastic. But 20th for one wide receiver? A lot of tackles that were taken. Paris Johnson Jr. to the Arizona Cardinals. Darnell Wright to the Bears. Peter Skronsky, that was a big shit. That was a big... Big shocker to me. Going 11th to the Titans.
Right? No wideouts. And I remember losing my proverbial mind at the status of the draft because Seattle drafted a wide receiver. I was like, that's a bit of a mistake, but all right. Los Angeles, they draft Quentin Johnston. I was like, I wouldn't take Quentin Johnston anywhere near Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Zay Flowers, or Jordan Addison. Those are my guys. Those are my guys. And I went to bat for my guys, and what a shocker, Jaxon Smith-Njigba has a good season. But he's like the third wide receiver on a team that really didn't need a receiver. I mean, he had 63 catches, 628 yards, 4 touchdowns. I was like, why did they draft him? They have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Why did they draft him? Why did they take him? Seattle doesn't even want to throw the football. They want to run it. Why'd you take him, Seattle? Why'd you take him? Quentin Johnston goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. I was about to say Angels. Ha! Bust, by the way. Baltimore. They take Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers. That's my fucking guy. That's my guy. I felt Zay Flowers over Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Not Jaxon Smith, excuse me. Jordan Addison, a little bit ridiculous. Zay Flowers, though, went a little bit ridiculous. 77 receptions, 858 yards, 5 touchdown catches last season. He had a good season for a rookie in a system, in a scheme, in Baltimore that really doesn't want to get a little bit freaky-dicky, who doesn't really want to throw the football. Then you got Minnesota taking, to me, the crown jewel of last year's draft in Jordan Addison. Out of USC. Jordan Addison. Let me look up his stats. 70 receptions, 911 yards, 10 touchdowns. Amazing. Amazing. On the same damn team with the monster, Justin Jefferson. Granted, he didn't play a lot of games because he was hurt. Point is, last year had a lot of late round wide receivers. All those guys went 20th and above. They literally went 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. All within 4 picks. Because it's just great value. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think this year we're going to have... You know, actually, I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't care what other teams do. I'm just going to tell you like it is. By the way, those 4 wide receivers were the only 4 wide receivers that were taken in the first round. I think that's going to double... that's a little bit ambitious. I think we're probably going to get like 6, maybe 7 guys in the first round. But I have grades of like 8 guys right now. 8 guys, maybe 7. Maybe 7. I'm not a huge Keon Coleman guy. But like guys that to me are like late round, first round draft picks, to me are like middle of the pack. Easily first round draft picks. So... let's kind of get started. You know the big names, right? You know Marvin Harrison Jr. You know Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. I can never say his name right. And I literally had the TV copies on so that way I could hear his name. We'll do this together. Let me look up his name. How do you say, is it Odunze? I feel like it is Rome Odunze. Give me like 2 seconds. I got an ad. Give me like a little bit more time. A little bit more time. Here we go.
Penix will look his direction. Fires a pass. Caught. Odunze.
Odunze. Rome Odunze. Okay, I got it. So, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. First round draft picks. Top of the list. Top tier guys. Let me look up some other mock drafts as well, so that way we can kind of have some perspectives here. All right, let me just look it up. Why not let it fly? Okay. So, Rome Odunze. Is this interesting draft pick that kind of gets like a lot of buzz right now. Some people I've seen him sometimes go before Malik Nabers, like sometimes. Like, I think the jury's out. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the top guy at his position in this year's draft. Done. Okay? Anyone that's saying different is ridiculous. Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze are kind of in that second category of like who's going to go as a second overall wide receiver in the draft. I think it's probably Malik Nabers. Then it's Rome Odunze. Look, Rome Odunze is a very interesting wide receiver. I think he's like, without knowing his measurements, just taking a swing, I'm guessing he's like 6'3". I'm thinking he's 6'3". Yeah, boom. On the money, 6'3". I was about to say 210, 215. He looks like it. He kind of looks like Mike Evans. And the thing that's so interesting about Rome Odunze, I love how now I'm just saying his name all the time to try and make it stick in my brain. Think about Rome Odunze. Big-bodied wide receiver. Played for Washington. First couple of catches that I saw, I can't remember which game I was watching, but first couple of catches that I saw were like scheme throws and Michael Penix Jr. being Michael Penix Jr. type of throws. Like where Michael Penix Jr. is just awesome and he's great and he's throwing Rome open because these are really close, tight-knit 50-50 balls. These aren't, he doesn't have a lot of separation. Doesn't have a lot of, he wasn't able to show off his route running. And I think that he is fast enough where he can escape pursuit, but he maybe also can be pursued. I don't think he has like blazing speed. I think he has good enough speed. What was his timing? What was his timing at the 40? He's like, before looking it up, he's probably like 4.45, 4.48. Ha! Ha! Oh my God! Wow! Jesus Christ, I'm on one today. 4.45 is his official 40 time. Jesus Christ. When I'm on, ladies and gentlemen, I am absolutely on. And by on, I mean on one when it comes to these predictions, but also on one when it comes to consuming melatonin, because I'm starting to get a little bit drowsy here, folks. I've taken a little bit of drugs. Technically, they're not drugs, they're supplements. His first run was a 4.47. His next run was a 4.45. His second run. And he looks like it. He looks like, and everybody gets a little bit faster. Everybody gets a little bit stronger. Everybody gets a little bit more athletic. Everybody develops a little bit more as an athlete when you get into the NFL. That happens. I don't think he'll be, I think the reality is, I think he could probably run like a 4.4 flat 40. If and when he develops as a player, when he stops being a college athlete and he becomes a pro, I think he'll become faster. But Rome Odunze. See what I mean? See what I mean? I gotta go back. Give me 2 seconds. I gotta go back and I gotta like listen to the video again. Like a child who has to like write. I will not do bad things on a chalkboard like we're in the 1950s. You know that the intro to The Simpsons and how Bart is like writing stuff on a wall as like punishment? I feel like that's what I have to do now whenever I freaking cannot get this guy's name right. Because I literally had it be told to me and I still can't get it right.
Day in the slot. Penix will look his direction. Fires a pass. Caught. Odunze.
Odunze. I've said Odunze, but it's Odunze. Anyways, Odunze. Right, 6'3", 215, 4.45, 40, flat. What can I say about Odunze? Is Odunze as juiced up as like people are saying? Right now, Big Board at Pro Football Network has him at 11th overall. Is that correct? I think it's incorrect. I think he's probably, he's a little bit of a risk. Because it's like, I think he is a developed route runner, but I think he could be better as a route runner. I see a really high ceiling for a player, really low floor. I think Rome Odunze easily is like a great number two right now. Could potentially develop into a number one within the next couple of years. I think he has a really low floor or really high floor, really high ceiling. I feel like he can get faster. I feel like he can maybe be 220. I feel like he could be a significantly better route runner, and he's not bad at all. He has, you know what Romo Dunze has? Zero flaws to his game. Like zero, like none. Great hands. He's a yak guy. He can catch, and then he can run, and then he can turn up the field. Great or good wide receiver with the ability to become great. And understands spacing and zone. Has great hands. I mean, he has very, very little weaknesses. But he's not particularly great at some of the flashy things. He is super athletic because he is tall and he's big. So he can, like, have these amazing catches and stuff like that every now and again. But for me, Romo Dunze, the thing that Romo Dunze doesn't have right now is, like, he's not really great at speed. He's not really great at route running. And for his size, Marvin Harrison Jr., the reason why, like, everybody's juiced up on Marvin Harrison Jr. is that Marvin Harrison Jr. is essentially Romo Dunze, but better. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't have any weaknesses. He's, like, he looks like he's 6'3", right? Jesus fucking Christ, he's 6'4". He's 6'4", 205 pounds. He's a fucking apex predator. He's a monster. And he probably runs like a 4'3", low 4'4", 40. I mean, this guy is an absolute apex predator, Black Panther in Wakanda, you know. This guy freaking is a monster, you know. He is an awesome route runner, super fast, super tall, great hands. He's going to be a killer in the league. And Arizona's probably going to cop him. They're probably going to get him at 4. I doubt the Patriots will because the Patriots don't have a quarterback. But yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. is just... is Rome Odunze, except a little bit bigger, faster, better route runner, better hands, just better. And it's very, very, very clear. Like, it's not, oh, maybe. It's no, it's not a maybe. It is a yes, definitive yes. He is significantly better than Rome Odunze. But Rome Odunze has zero weaknesses. So imagine like a guy who has no weaknesses except just better. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. probably this year will be in the conversation for being like a top 10 guy. If the Cardinals do their job and make sure that he's like highly involved in their offense, we'll see what happens. But that's kind of the dichotomy between Romo Dunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. It's like Romo Dunze is Marvin Harrison Jr., except slower, smaller, less athletic, stuff like that. But he's still awesome. And it's just like, I feel like Rome probably is inside the top 10, I think, right now. To be honest with you, like, if you asked me, would I rather have the edge rusher out of Dallas, not out of Dallas, Jesus Christ, out of Alabama, named Dallas Turner, or have Rome Odunze? I think I'd rather have Rome Odunze. I think he's like, overall, I think he's probably like the 8th prospect on my board. I was very impressed with what I saw from him. Because again, you see these like really, really awesome Michael Penix throws. You see Michael Penix just slinging it all over the field, doing his thing. Awesome, accurate throws. And then, and you see like, okay, Rome really doesn't have to do a lot to go after some of these balls because they're just so perfectly placed. And then you see other times where it's just like, I mean, I saw one play, the touchdown against UCLA, where they're in like a trips right formation and they completely lose Rome Odunze in the backfield. Or not in the backfield, but in the back of the end zone. Like they've lost him. He's gone. He's completely gone. They've lost him. And he catches a touchdown pass from Penix Jr., when he was just wide open because UCLA's back end just lost him. Which I was like, it's a touchdown and it goes on his books as a touchdown, but it's not a Romo Dunze, I did some awesome shit type of touchdown. It's just they completely were lost and confused because of my offensive coordinator type of touchdown, which that happens. It does. And then you started to see the really, really awesome, awesome, awesome routes that he ran, the catches that he made, his ability to move out in space, find yards in space, create separation at the top of his route, going into his break, understanding exactly kind of his matchups in regards to zone schemes. Hold on. Excuse me. Understanding kind of like these NFL looks, these off coverage, these off, these like man coverages, but they're off. They're playing deep. Kind of like when and where to break his routes. I remember CeeDee Lamb's problem. One of his main problems was when and where to break off a stick route, right? Where he's like, he has to try and get to the line again. And it's something that he kind of still struggles with now. I remember I saw Michael Penix Jr., or not Michael, but Rome Odunze, running kind of like this stick route. And the DB is playing an off coverage. And technically, he's not running a stick route. He's just running an out route. But he's trying to get to the line to gain. And he goes past the line of gain. He understands the DB is playing off. They're trying not to allow the big play. He cuts his route like 2 or 3 yards past the line of game. Michael Penix Jr. just releases the ball, uncorks it, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty solid, crisp route. DB is like 5 yards away. He has no chance. None. He understands the assignment. He understands what he's doing. He's just a nice, crisp. It's like, you know, it's like finding a nice, crisp $5 bill on the side of the road, you know? You don't know where it came from. You don't know why it's there, but you'll take it. I'll take it. It's a great route by Rome Odunze. Very confident in Rome Odunze. Is he better than Marvin Harrison Jr.? Fuck no. No, absolutely not. Is he better than, for example, is he better than Malik Nabers? Absolutely not. Like, Malik Nabers is Marvin Harrison Jr. You know who he is? He's Ja'Marr Chase. That's who he is. That's who he reminds me of. He's like 6 foot. He's that archetype of like 6 foot, probably runs a 4.3 40, and also probably, let me look up Malik Nabers' numbers. Like, he's 200 pounds, something like that. I don't know his numbers off the top of my head. Yeah, I mean, boom. 6 foot, 200 pounds. He's that 6 foot, 200 pound body archetype that essentially all wide receivers are currently, right? All these young guys that come in. Probably runs a 4.3 late, or excuse me, early 4.4 40, and probably within his third year will probably have like 1,200 yards. That's probably what I'm banking on. He's probably going to have somewhere close to 1,000 yards this season, and he's, again, Marvin Harrison Jr. except shorter. He does everything well. Catches the ball well. Runs routes well. Runs fast well. Has great hands, understands spacing, is really, really good at dropping his hips. Like, he is good at everything. No weaknesses, a lot of strengths. There's not really a lot here to be critical of because he's just good at everything, to great at everything. He's a thoroughbred. He's a racehorse that is designed for racing. And we're about to go racing here in 6 months. I'm like in 6 months, in September. But yes, Malik Nabers, super, 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 super awesome wideout. Incredible, incredible player for whoever is going to draft him. I was about to say for the LSU Tigers, go Tigers. But I still think he's better than Rome Odunze. And so those are the top three guys. Marvin Harrison Jr., Apex Predator, et cetera, et cetera. Malik Nabers, second guy, probably should be somewhere in and around top 5, top 10. Rome Odunze, probably 8th overall. And then you get to this other guy from fucking LSU. What the fuck is in the water at LSU? Brian Thomas Jr. is like, he's just another awesome wide receiver. I don't understand. I don't understand what is going on with all of these wide receivers. They have Pro Football Network has him as the 20th wide receiver. I think that's a joke. I think he's easily like the 12th, 13th overall pick in this year's draft. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Awesome wide receiver. Probably not as good and not as athletic as most of the other guys. Probably not as high of a ceiling, but still a very solid player. Very. He's like a worse version of Romo Dunze. Like, if Romo Dunze is a worse version than Marvin Harrison Jr., Brian Thomas is a worse version than Romo Dunze. Not as athletic as Romo Dunze. Not as fast. Maybe not as technical. Kind of, in some ways, in some degrees, relies, in my opinion, on the 50-50. Because he's fucking Michael Penix. Not Michael. He's Marvin Harrison Jr. when it comes to his height. Right? He's 6'4". So everybody's like, he's the 50-50 ball guy. But he has a lot of production to go with the huge plays. He has a lot of production to go with the 50-50 balls. He has a lot of touchdowns as well. He has 1,100 yards this season on 68 catches. Want to know how many touchdowns he has? 17. He's a fucking murderer of defenses. Murderer. You know? And LSU treated him like the 50-50 ball guy, but he's... You want to know the shocking thing about Brian Thomas Jr.? Super, super, super active. Awesome wide receiver. Not awesome wide receiver, excuse me. I mean, he is. But super awesome route runner, excuse me. Insane how awesome he is. Really is. A lot of awesome wide... I mean, it's a theme for wide receivers. You can't be a wide receiver nowadays and not be an awesome route runner, but kind of shocked at just how well he is, how technical he is. Did he perform at the combine? What was his numbers at the combine? Let me look it up really fast. Probably Brian Thomas Jr. probably would run late 4.4, 40, something like that. Stop the cap. He ran a 4.3 40. Excuse me. Stop that shit. Did he really run a 4.3 40? Like, I got an ad. I'm on the Jets official website. There's no fucking way he ran a 4.3 40 at the combine. Give me like 2 seconds. The ads are over. Here we go. Hold on. Here we go.
Told him to apologize, saying that there was a tweet.
Okay. So Google has his numbers wrong too, because I was like, he's 6'4". I was like, he didn't look like 6'4" to me. But he's 6'2" and 7th, 8th. So, I mean, he's in that bracket, right? We'll just say he's 6'3".
And that there was a twitch. Reason why he does that, because somebody might start their watch otherwise. He's trying his best.
Top 20 pick rolling right here in Brian Thomas. He's rolling.
4.34. That's rolling.
That was easy. Easy 4.34.
And we are rolling a break.
So he ran a 4.3 40, I guess a 4.3 4 40, but it got changed because of the unofficial time of the NFL Network, and so it was really a 4.3 3. That's fucking insane. Okay, so Brian Thomas Jr. You know what this draft reminds me of when it comes to these guys? Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers. It kind of reminds me of, really, probably should have been Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase both probably being in that draft class together, but they were in separate years because Ja'Marr was a year younger than Justin. But you could tell with Justin Jefferson at that 2019 LSU Tigers, Go Tigers National Championship with Joe Burrow and all the boys. I mean, you could tell they were both top tier professional athletes. And they were like, I think Justin was like 20, 21. And literally Ja'Marr Chase was like 18, 19 years old. They were top-tier athletes. Here's the thing. I feel like Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, probably a lesser version of Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Like, these two guys essentially run the league. But I think Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. potentially in the next couple of years could also run the league kind of as well. And Daniel Jeremiah said it. He said, these two guys are Brian Thomas Jr., top 20 guy. Again, I think he's like somewhere in, I think he's somewhere like 12th overall, something like that. I just don't see it. I just don't see what other people are seeing. I don't understand it myself when he's like, well, you know, he's a top 20 guy. I'm like, how? in what way is he a top 20 guy? I mean, he's a top 12, 13 guy to me. I don't think we're going to have that much of a run on wide receivers because of some of the teams that are in that bracket. Like, for example, Minnesota, they have, at 11, they have Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. Broncos, at 12, they have Cortland Sutton, and that's about it. They'll probably figure some stuff out with the wide receiving core. Raiders, maybe they have a shot. Saints, they have a lot of guys. I mean, good God, the Colts at 15, they can't even pay fucking Michael Pittman Jr., you know. Seahawks, they have their guy. Jacksonville is an interesting team because they don't have any wide receivers, essentially. And you know who else is an interesting team? The Bengals at 18. I think the Bengals at 18 are going to take somebody that is going to essentially replace T. Higgins. I don't know why they didn't replace him last year, but or not replace him, but trade him last year. But at 18, the Bengals, look out for the Bengals to potentially take. I mean, I feel like they're going to take a weapon or an offensive lineman. I know the Bengals, they just signed somebody else. They signed Orlando Brown. Joke. Oh, yeah, they also got Trent Brown. I think Orlando Brown is a joke. Usually the Patriots, to me, the Patriots, they need an offensive lineman. If Trent Brown, I've not been a Trent Brown guy. I really haven't. But Trent Brown, all right, fine. If we want to play pretend like he's a great offensive tackle, sure, all right, fine. But I think the Bengals at 18 are going to be inclined to take a wide receiver or the tight end out of Georgia and Brock Bowers, if he's there. We'll kind of see what happens. But Bengals at 18, super interesting team for, ironically enough, another LSU Tiger. We'll see what happens. Brian Thomas, fourth wide receiver, top 12 pick. I'll kind of go fast here. On the big board for Pro Football Network, Keon Coleman is ranked as like the fifth wide receiver. Is he ranked as a fifth? Yeah, fifth wide receiver. I think he's like seventh or eighth. He is falling fast, like Lightning McQueen in Cars 3. He's fading and fading and fading fast. I'm fading him. Keon Coleman is Drake May. He is Quentin Johnston. He is Treylon Burks. He's Foles Gold. He is a big-ass wide receiver who everybody looks at. Oh, my God, he is 6'4", but nobody looks at anything he can fucking do because this dude can only catch 50-50 balls, and I'm out on that. That is not a skill that is transferable to the NFL long term. Notice how like none of the wide receivers in the NFL are 50-50 ball guys. They can all run routes and they can all catch passes. Like notice how that's a thing, right? That's like an archetype. That is the archetype for the NFL wide receivers. Keon Coleman, really, his archetype is I'm big and I'm strong and I can jump high. That's it. Not I can lower my hips and run awesome routes. Not that I have great hands, but I'm big and I'm strong and I can go up for 50-50 passes. That's not going to fly long term against the NFL when there is awesome coverage against you and the sideline is there and the quarterback has to make an awesome throw just to be able to throw the pass for you inbounds because you have no separation whatsoever. Keon Coleman is like, I mean, to me, he's not a first-round draft pick. And to be honest with you, even on this big board, he kind of is barely a first-round draft pick. He is, on Pro Football Network's big board, he is the 29th player. Hold on. He's the 29th player available. Which means, yeah, he's not a first-round draft pick, pretty much. I think there's three other guys that I would rather have over him. Adonai Mitchell, I think that's how you say his name. Wide receiver out of Texas. I'll kind of bracket these as like top 20 picks. Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey. I think they're all in the teens to 20s picks. To 20 type of picks. Again, the Pro Football Network big board has them as like late first, early second round draft picks. I think they're middle of the first round draft pick type of players. They all have kind of weaknesses. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia is super interesting, though. Maybe not as high of a ceiling as either one of those guys, but he is probably one of the more pro-ready players. at his position in the draft at wide receiver, and I am not even kidding. He may be one of the better wide receivers, or not wide receiver. I mean, he obviously is one of the better wide receivers in the draft, but route runners is what I meant to say. He's awesome. He's very, like, Puka Nacua Cooper Kupp-ish. Like, if I just got rid of his Georgia uniform, and if I just slapped him in a red, or not in red, but in a Rams uniform, you would have been like, oh, he's a Ram. Like, that's what I thought of. He's not really, like, he probably runs a low 4.440. Let me look it up. Probably runs a low 4.440 because he has the ability to just run by people. He's not really, like, that tall. He's not strong, obviously. He's, like, 5'11", something like that. Really weird guy, right? 30 receptions, 478 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, no production. He's 6 foot tall. He's missing about 15 pounds, by the way. He's 185 pounds. But he's productive. When he actually catches the ball, he's productive. But I could see him really being in that role of, like, in that Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp role. Maybe not that type of role where he's getting, like, 1,700 yards or he has the ability to get 1,700 yards. But one of those guys that's a safety blanket, safety net, that you can throw the football to, that can get vertical, upfield, is smart, kind of knows how to essentially move in space when there is a lot of space around him, knows how to make plays, knows how to get yak. He's either a Ram guy or a San Francisco 49ers guy. Like, it's very, very clear to me, like, one of those two teams would love to have him. Will they draft him? I don't know. But he's very up that alley of, like, he knows what to do with space. He knows how to do it. He knows how to execute. All that good stuff. Ladd McConkey. Super interesting player. Super interesting player. The two Texas wide receivers, though, to me are top-tier picks with high ceilings. Right? Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell. Xavier Worthy, like, yes, ran the 4.240, so we know how fucking fast he is. You want to know the shocking thing to me about Xavier Worthy, right? He's Jalen Waddle. This is the third year in a row where I've seen a guy be short, but be fast, be able to get a lot of yak, and be a really, really good route runner. Good enough where it's just like, a lot of the times, a lot of OG receivers would have been like, we don't have really any Hall of Famers at wideout that ran 4.240s because of the fact that they couldn't decelerate. They couldn't slow down. They could only run straight or in a straight line. They could never run in a different direction. And it's like Xavier Worthy is kind of one of those guys that he's fast, but he can change direction fast as well. He's quick. He's sudden. He's elusive. And he can get you yak. Seen him break tackles before. He's very Jalen Waddle-esque. Like I said, the exact same thing about Jalen Waddle. Or not Jalen Waddle. Zay Flowers, where I was like, Zay Flowers to me is like a top 10 pick. I'm a little bit worried about Xavier Worthy. I can't tell you why. I feel like it's a little bit too good to be true. But it's why I'm like, I feel like he's a teens, right? I feel like the risk may or may not be there. He could just be fine and we're just under-evaluating him as a player. But there's a lot of upside to Xavier Worthy. I don't think he's the 33rd prospect. I think he's probably like the 15th. I think Adonai Mitchell is like the more solid version of Xavier Worthy. What was his 40? I was about to say, he seemed like he was 4.3, 4.4. I was honestly going to say 4.4 40. But he ran a 4.3 40, which is insane for a guy of his size. He's like 6'4", right? 6'3", 6'4". Yep. 6'4". A lot of 6'4" guys. Weird stuff, man, about some of these wide receivers. A lot of these guys, Marvin Harrison Jr. probably runs a 4.3. Romo Odunze. I think he ran like a 4.4 or 4. I think I said 4.45. I was right on the money. Ran a 4.45, right? Adonai Mitchell runs a 4.3, 4.40. Big wide receivers at 6'4". tall wide receivers. Usually you don't see them being able to just run by people. You know, they usually have to use some intangible to be able to run by people. And it's just like, the reality is, most of these guys are running by people. Very, very little difficulty. Very, very little issues. And they're doing it because they have top tier speed. And so I've said it in a lot of drafts this over the last couple of years that if you have a quarterback, you'll enjoy this draft because you'll be able to get a top tier wide receiver in the draft. And it's just like, I've said that I think 2 or 3 years now, and it's just like, it continues forward once again. There's like 7 or 8 guys that are easily first round draft picks that are in this next draft. And I mean, I feel like some of these guys are being underrated. Brian Thomas is one of those guys. Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. I mean, they're second round draft picks. I think that's a bit of a joke. But it is what it is. Daniel Jeremiah just came out with another mock draft. We'll look at it. Normal progression of the mock draft should be like Caleb Williams, Drake May, and then the Patriots are at 3, so maybe another quarterback. We'll kind of see what happens. Or a wide receiver. We'll see what happens with him here. So Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, boom. Got all 3 picks, right? Caleb Williams to the Bears at 1. Drake May to the Commanders, 2. Jaden Daniels to the Patriots, 3. Minnesota trades up with Arizona for J.J. McCarthy at 4. I think Arizona's never doing that. But the interesting thing that happened earlier last week was that the Minnesota Vikings, they went out and they acquired 2 first-round draft picks with kind of the notion and the narrative that Minnesota is going to go out and trade up in the draft for another quarterback, and that quarterback that Daniel Jeremiah has them selecting is J.J. McCarthy. Look, a couple of years ago, I predicted that the Saints were going to do that with the 2 first-round draft picks that they had, and I was wrong. I thought they were going to use them to trade up in the draft. They did not. They drafted Trevor Penning and also Chris Olave. Here's the thing. The same thing could happen for Minnesota. The same thing couldn't happen for Minnesota as well. They could just see a lot of players that they like in the first round this year and they wanted to double up. I don't really know what Minnesota's plan is. Until they get that 4th overall pick, I'm not going to say what they're going to do. I think if they pass on Marvin Harrison Jr., the Arizona Cardinals are foolish. They don't have a number one wide receiver. They need a number one wide receiver, and they could potentially have one of the best, if not the best, number one wide receiver in the draft for the next 10 fucking years, and they trade down with Minnesota, and then, of course, the Jets, they trade up with the Chargers in this draft, in this scenario, to get Marvin Harrison Jr. And then Malik Nabers goes 6th to the Giants. So whoops-a-daisies, if you're Arizona, now you don't have a top-tier wide receiver for Kyler Murray. Whoops-a-daisies. Sorry, not sorry. Bit ridiculous. Joel Jr. goes at 7. I'll kind of scroll down. Rome Odunze goes to the Bears at 9, which I think that's perfect for him. I said 8. I said literally I would take him over Dallas Turner. I mean, Atlanta is drafting at 8th overall. I said that he's the 8th prospect, not the 8th player selected. He goes 9th overall. I think that's a fine place. Especially when it's like you have Keenan Allen, you have DJ Moore, and then you pair all those guys up with Rome Odunze. I don't know. I still don't know how to say his last name. I think that's a fine pick. Oh my God. Arizona gets Jared Verse out of Florida State. Jesus Christ. Draft night, I'm going to explode if that happens. Here we go. Michael Penix Jr. in the first round. Going to the Vegas. Ooh, that's so disgusting. Going to the Raiders at 13 overall. Michael Penix Jr., you pair him with Devontae Adams. And then in the second round, you come back and you maybe get somebody that's going to help stabilize the wide receiver position. Yikes. Yikes. That is a very interesting proposition. I think the Raiders should go out and get Michael Penix Jr. now that I see it. This is why I love doing other people's mock drafts. I don't have my own mock draft because it's like, it's redundant and it's boring. I like looking at other people's mock drafts and seeing Michael Penix Jr. go to the Raiders fits very, very well for both of them. For the Raiders themselves and for Penix Jr., who is going to go to a team with an interesting wide receiving core and some nice bones, like a nice base, but they need more. But for the Raiders to spend their first round draft pick on him is just, to me, it's fantastic. The Penn State tackle that I'm in love with falls outside of the top 10 and goes 14th overall to the New Orleans Saints. Joke. I'm trying to look at the next wide receiver. It just seems like everybody just has completely misread the Penn State tackle. I don't understand that at all. Yep, Dallas gets Jackson Powers Johnson, which is insane. Amarius Mims also falls. Amarius Mims falling to the Packers at 25 overall is a bit of a joke. No more wide receivers, looks like it's taken. Yeah, Adonai Mitchell gets taken by the Chiefs at 32 overall. But, I mean, this is kind of what I'm talking about here, right? Where it's just like you get three top guys, right? You get Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, taken in the top 10. And then you just see nobody else getting taken for the entirety of the round until you get to 32nd overall with the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, excuse me, Brian Thomas goes to the Arizona Cardinals. I was like, I just don't understand if somebody, I just skimmed over him, I apologize. But Brian Thomas Jr. goes to the Arizona Cardinals at 23rd. And then you also get Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas, going to Kansas City, 32nd overall. So it's like I think that was like five guys taken out of like eight. And so it's like some of those guys that I feel like are first round draft picks, Ladd McConkie, Xavier Worthy, those two guys that kind of got left out. They're now in this mock draft, in this scenario, they're now going to the second round. And they'll probably be like early to mid second round draft picks. But wide receivers are once again a huge commodity in the draft. And we'll kind of see what smart teams make smart decisions on wide receivers. It's like it should always be like certain teams should take certain wide receivers, especially the Bengals. Bengals have some hard decisions to make, whether you take a wide receiver or whether you take a tackle. Anyways, I'm peacing out for tonight. I'll see you on Friday for Music Matters. Ladies and gentlemen, 24's Podcast.